Faith in Tough Times. An alternative title to this might be For Such a Time as This. Many of you will have faced a range of tough times. Some of us, not so many, however. Whether life has been tough or, like me, you've just certain times have been difficult, we can all look to Jesus, look to God for help and security. Jesus himself has not excused tough times. Becoming completely man meant that he knew difficult times. He was rejected, mocked, persecuted, and finally hung on a cross, dying a very cruel death. I often wonder whether physical death or the rejection by his friends were the hardest times for him. In Matthew 26, verses 36 to 40, we read, "Then Jesus brought them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, 'Sit here while I go ahead to pray.' He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he began to be filled with anguish and deep distress. He told them, 'My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me.' Then he went a little further, and he fell on his face on the ground, praying, 'My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine.' Then he returned to the disciples, and he found them asleep. He said to Peter, 'Couldn't you stay awake and watch with me just for 1 hour? Keep alert and stay and pray. Otherwise temptation will overpower you. For though the spirit is willing enough, the body is weak.' Again he left them and he prayed, 'My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away until I drink it, your will be done.' He returned to them again and found them sleeping, for they just couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went back a third time, saying the same things. Then he came to his disciples and said, 'Still sleeping, still resting? Look, the time has come. I, the Son of Man, am betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. See, my betrayer is here.'" Even Jesus asked that in this tough times, things might not happen. However, he prayed, "I want your will, not mine." And then he returned to find his friends couldn't even stay awake with him. He said, "Couldn't you stay awake and watch, just even for 1 hour?" Even Jesus' faith was tested in tough times. But your will, God, not mine, is what Jesus said. I grew up in a Christian family, and one of my abiding pictures is of my dad sitting by the fire each morning reading his Bible. The first time I heard parents talk of faith through tough times, even though times will be very hard, was when my dad was resigning his job, although he had no prospects of another. The people above him in the company were stealing from the company. He knew that to give his job up would mean hardship. He had three young daughters and a wife to provide for. "We must have faith," he said, "all of us. God will provide." And God did provide, in some practical ways, like we all worked in the garden and suddenly there were a lot more fresh vegetables. We had second-hand toys. Mum cut up old clothes and sewed new dresses for us. And there were no Christmas presents that year. But it didn't matter. God did provide, and he honoured the family's faith. The second time I remember it being really tough was when my dad was dying, and we were teenagers. The doctor had given him a certain time and said that would be the time he would have left. But God had given him a promise. He promised that my elder sister would be back from voluntary service overseas in Nigeria. That was the promise God had given to my dad. She returned in September. He died in October. God honoured his faith. Through Dad's death, I learnt not to be afraid of death, no fear. Also, he caused us girls to return to God. My father's example of faith in tough times brought me back to God and showed me that I never had to go it alone. Dad also taught me to put on the whole armour of God every morning, just as Andy has taught you a few weeks ago. The armour of God is incredibly important. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. A final word. Be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armour so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and the authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Use every piece of God's armour to resist the enemy in the times of evil, so that after the battle you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armour of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from God, the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows being aimed at you by Satan. Put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Your shield of faith. You're not going it alone. If we have faith, we release God to act for us, and others will see that. There was a situation of a Roman soldier, a Roman officer. We read in Matthew 8, verses 5 to 10. When Jesus arrived in Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and racked with pain. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. But then the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. I know that because I'm under authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they will go, or come and they will come. And if I say to my slave, do this or that, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd, he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel. And that servant was healed. Faith demands that we believe things that haven't happened yet, or believe things that we can't see how they will possibly come to pass. One of the first tough times Pete and I faced was when we'd been married a few years and we wanted to have a baby. That was our desire. In fact, we ended up going to hospital and we had lots of series of tests. And in the end, the hospital said, there's no way you will have children. Just after that, a person in church in Manchester came to us and gave us a word from the book of Leviticus. I bet not many of you have had those. And the word said that because we have been faithful to God in our service, he would be faithful to us and we would have children. Time went on. My brother-in-law, who worked in the field of adoption, said that we could have a child. He could help push it through. But if he wanted a baby, we had to have it before I was 35. But God had said we would have our own children. So we said no. The next thing was I was offered a headship of a school just outside Manchester. It sounded very nice and the headship would have been great. But we felt we had to say no because we were going to have a family. At which point the education advisor thought it was crazy. He said, but you've been told you can't have any. There's no way. The next thing was our best friends phoned. They'd been married a couple of years less than us. And as Pete spoke on the phone in the other room, I just knew what they were saying. As he came in, I said, I know, they're telling us they're expecting a baby, aren't they? And Pete, who doesn't normally have pictures, gave a picture. He said, you think God's just got a room full of children, full of babies, and he's giving them away? I said, yes, and that was the last one. But actually, we kept faith in tough times. And then we found we were expecting John. His name means a gift from God. And we didn't just have John, we have Jenny. The prophecy for us was children. You standing with others and others standing with you help through tough times. Faith in tough times. At that time, Pete and I were also leading a house group in Manchester. And the house group had quite a lot of older people in it. But they decided they were going to fast and pray till our prophetic work came through. For 4 years, every Thursday, the house group fasted for us. And I can remember when we told them we were expecting John. One of the older men said, about time too. I'm not into this fasting lark and it's been going on for 4 years now. And just remember, you're not going it alone. Stand by others with faith. Join in faith with them during tough times. You're not alone in it. Jesus, when he was pleading with his Father to let the cup pass, that this wouldn't happen, the version in Luke tells us, then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. We have God on our side. And we have his angelic forces on our side. Have you ever had an angel stand alongside you? I have, twice. I can recall seeing them, hearing them, twice. The first time was when we were having a time that John didn't sleep. This baby we wanted, and it wouldn't sleep. He wouldn't sleep. And yet there was so much to get on with. And I can remember praying, God, help me get through this day. And the angel stood there and said, I didn't give you days to get through, Helen. I gave you days to enjoy. Look for the good things in each day. And that has remained so important to me to keep me positive. It might be I saw a beautiful, beautiful amount of celandines the other day when I was walking the dog. It might be a lovely bird. It might be blossom on a tree. It might be a kind word from somebody I'm passing. But there is something every day from God. The second time an angel stood alongside me was when we were on our way from school. It was heaving down with rain, and we had to get John to a certain place because he was going off with the youth group. It was pouring down, we were late, and it was my fault because I'd stopped to help somebody at school. Then the car stopped at the lights. Would it start again? No. Then a man said to us, just lift the bonnet, press the knee lever and lift the bonnet. And he lifted it. Jenny said to me, that man is dry. It's pouring down and that man isn't wet. He did something under the bonnet, dropped the bonnet, and said, try again. I did. The car started. The man was still completely dry and it was heaving down. We looked for him again. He'd disappeared. Where had he gone? We don't know. He was an angel sent to help us. John got away on his youth weekend, and all was well. That's when angels have stood alongside me. But we are often called to stand alongside other people. He had friends in Manchester, close friends, and David at 31 was dying of cancer. We would stand alongside them, pray with them, support them with the two little lads that they had. David died, but he wasn't afraid to die. And we sat with Anita through tough times. I would often go and she would sit. She wouldn't even speak to me. She just opened the door. Her little son stopped speaking altogether, one of them. The other was still a baby. But every week, two or three times a week, I would just go and sit. And bit by bit, she began to talk. 3 years down the line, she asked me to pray with her. "Will you pray with me for a new dad for these boys and a new husband? But I don't want a second-hand one," she said. I said, "But you're second-hand, Anita. You've been married before." "I know, but I don't want a second-hand one." We prayed. We prayed every week after toddler group. And Anita met a lovely man who'd never been married before because he'd been busy with his career. He became a superb dad for those two boys. God honoured Anita through hard times, but others needed to stand alongside her. At City Church at present, we are standing alongside three people who are really struggling with cancer. We pray every day, a group of us. We stand alongside them. We send messages of encouragement. And this week, we've had a really hard one. An older couple in their church. Their daughter was rushed in. She's a GP and she was rushed into Birmingham, told to say goodbye to her son. They didn't think she'd last the night. She had caught the virus. Several people in the ward died that night. Day and a half after, she came home. She's still very sick, but she came home. People have been faithful and standing alongside her in prayer. And this has said so much to her husband. He phoned and asked us to pray, and he's not a Christian. What a witness that they see that prayer and people standing alongside matters. When I was walking the dog the other morning, my dog Molly, who Monica knows, I caught her going round, following a scent of another dog. She had to squat down. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not asking you to cock your leg against a lamppost. But she went round marking her territory. And God has said, we need to mark God's territory for him. Not by weeing on lampposts, but by giving away scriptures, giving away pictures, giving away encouragement, giving away acts of kindness, sharing our testimonies. In other words, being faithful in other people's hard times. I can remember giving a scripture to a lad who was working for me at after school club. He was going out to have a meal with a friend, or with a bloke he'd got to know, who was going to offer him a job. He said, "I'm going, I'm not going to accept the job, but the steak will be nice." I just quoted a bit of scripture. It says in Proverbs, you know, that it's better to have soup with a friend than a steak with an enemy. He said, and off he went. Next day, I said, "Did you have a good steak?" I didn't go. It was dishonest of me to go. "Where did you say that came from?" And we got to share about Proverbs. Later, a couple of years later, I was able to give him a Bible. Pictures. One of the girls, who's quite grumpy, who walks a dog, was telling me one day she was going for tests. They thought she'd got bowel cancer. Three young teenagers she was raising them by herself. Before she went the following day, God had given me a picture to share with her. When she got the results, she came bounding up. "Your picture came true. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm going to be fine." We need to have the courage to give these things away. Sometimes the encouragement comes to us. I can remember Pete's mum. Basically, she was dying in Evesham Hospital. Pete was working away at the time. So during the week, when club closed, I would go at 6 o'clock and drive over to Evesham. Often when I got there, they'd say, "No, she's not woken up today, but it's glad you've come. Here, you'd like a coffee, wouldn't you? White, no sugar." And the nurses were just so encouraging. But then God was encouraging to me. I can remember one week especially, that one day as I drove over, as I arrived at the hospital, there was the most beautiful rainbow I'd ever seen, stretching right across the hospital. God was saying he was with me. The next day, I was just driving home when my friend rang and said, "Come to us for supper on the way home. I've got it ready. Come straight to us. Don't go home." Encouragement again. And the third day that week, there was a line of frogs. Frogs and toads. It must have been their route across. And they were hopping across the road. It was quite thick, the line of them, and they were going right across. I stopped, and a lorry driver stopped as well, so that we could stand and watch. 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, it took for all these frogs to go across the road. Just an encouragement from God. "I'm with you. You're not going this alone." Or it might be an act of kindness, giving a bunch of flowers to somebody you've seen looking sad, or a neighbour you know is struggling. Or sharing your testimony. I shared my testimony with my group of art ladies that I join on a Monday morning. I was talking about Uganda, talking about being up in the north. The Lord's Resistance Army were there, stealing children, burning villages, all sorts of things. We'd had to follow a series of tanks to get to one of the places we were going, and there was gunfire in the evening. Anyway, on the way back, our minibus broke down in the bush, right in the middle of nowhere. And there we are, and I'm thinking, Peter, we're here with our two young children in the bush among where the Lord's Resistance Army is. First thing that comes back, a UN van. "Shouldn't stop there, it's dangerous, you need to get away from here." Next, to save the children. "Don't stop here, you need to move off. You're in the area where the Lord's Resistance Army is. Get into town." We were broken down, what could we do? And then, just as if it was playing a tune, over the hill, believe it or not, came a Hovis van. The Hovis van stopped. "Can't get any of you in the back of it," he said, "but I'll tow you." And he put a rope from the back of his van to the minibus. Set off, it snapped in two. Put a shorter rope from the back of the van to the minibus. It snapped in two. Finally, put another one, and we managed to get into town. God was on our side. And sharing this testimony with these ladies at the art group, they just sat there, brush in hand, mouths open. But I was able to share that God was on our side. God was with us through tough times. As I said at the start, faith in tough times. But I really feel this talk could have been said for such a time as this. Most of you will probably know the story of Esther. Esther was in the king's palace for just as time as this. Mordecai, Esther's older cousin, had adopted her and cared for her. He was a man like my dad. He did not compromise his integrity. Mordecai and Esther saved the Jewish people from certain death. They had faith in tough times. Read the story. Read it from beginning to end in one go. It is so exciting. The whole of Esther. Read it. We need to have faith. We need to have faith for ourselves and our families. We need to have faith for our church family. We need to have faith for our community, for our country, for our world. And especially at the moment, it is tough. It is hard. But we can walk through this with God. And our testimonies, our words of encouragement, all these things will help people walk through this. It's a time when people will turn to God and we can encourage them. We can help them. Faith in tough times. But remember, we don't go it alone. We've got friends. We've got family. We've got the church leaders. But above all, we've got God and his heavenly host on our side. For such a time as this, we enter the throne room as Esther did. We are welcomed in by the king. The plans of the enemy are exposed. And we know the end of the story, or if you don't, go and read it. Let's enter boldly today. We are welcomed by our Father. Have faith in tough times. Thank you.